Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
That's why if I start talking, I'll lose my track and we could be here all day, so it's better I do it this way. I grew up in a middle-class Christian home. I've got two older brothers and both my mum and dad. I always knew that my parents loved me, but because of my parents' past and the way that they were raised, they never really showed affection much at all. And I can't really remember my parents ever telling me that they loved me. And any time they hugged me, it was usually out of comfort, not just out of, I'll give you a hug. We attend a church every Sunday to a really great church where I was fed and taught amazing and wonderful truths about God, and it formed a really good foundation for me to come back to time and time again throughout my life. I spent a lot of my childhood growing up around my cousins and my aunties, and I had a very close relationship with my mum. Looking back, it's very clear to see how young minds model behaviours and the realities of those that they spend most of their time with. My mum was then and still struggles a lot with body image and self-esteem issues, as well as quite a few of my aunties did as well. Dieting, exercise and low body image were all very normal and were clearly modelled as part of a woman's role. Nobody saw anything wrong with it or anything harmful about it. I was always very sporty, so weight was never really an issue with me growing up till I hit the dreaded puberty. I'd been dancing for about 4 years by this stage and was doing quite well, going really well with exams and competitions. So I would have been about 12 or 13 years old when I started putting on a noticeable amount of weight. My mum never suggested going on diets, but she was always very supportive when I decided that I wanted to lose weight. So started my obsession with weight and body image. My ballet teacher also had noticed that I'd started putting on a bit of weight, so she thought it was a fantastic idea to pull about three of us up in front of the whole class one Saturday morning and tell us how much weight we'd put on and that if we were ever going to make it anywhere with dancing, we needed to lose weight and get ourselves sorted. So from then on, my self-image and my self-esteem was completely smashed. I was embarrassed and absolutely disgusted in myself. So I pretty much stopped eating for quite a time. My parents and the other girls' parents remained silent on the matter, never stepping up and standing up for us. This led us to believe that our ballet teacher was right, and in order to make it anywhere in the world, we needed to look right. So the image that I had of myself was I was very fat, very ugly, and my parents at this stage were also offered to work afternoon shift full-time from 3:30 till midnight, which only meant I really saw my parents on the weekends. Because my brothers are quite a bit older than me, my brothers were never really home very much, so most nights I was home alone. This made my obsession with food and exercise only easier because there was no one there to see what I was doing. I was attending youth group at this stage and still going to church, but I was finding it really hard to grasp the concept of being created in God's image and being unconditionally loved. School was becoming increasingly harder. With a very warped self-image, I became extremely shy and extremely unconfident. People misread this though, so I thought I was quite snobby and quite up myself. I'd never hidden the fact that I was a Christian, and so started getting teased and bullied quite a bit. And on a few occasions, was chased home by some older boys who thought it was hilarious to see the absolute fear and embarrassment in me. When they caught me, they would, throw a few punches at me and do whatever and go back to school the next day and brag about how awesome they were. So I began my battle with anxiety and panic attacks. I felt extremely alone, isolated and fearful most of the time. I didn't know who I was or what my purpose for being alive was. But most of all, I couldn't see why or how God could love me. Like the dance nun, betrayed. I felt like a puppet being pulled and pushed in every direction, so desperately wanting to break free, but at the end of the day, feeling trapped and controlled again. A few of our youth leaders at this stage decided to start a Bible study. Then I finally felt like God had taken me back to the foundations that I'd learned as a child, and I started building on them again. I felt like at last I belonged somewhere and was accepted for who I was. One of our youth leaders started mentoring me, and my relationship with God became so much more real and personal, and I began to find an inner peace I hadn't had before. It was around this time that God crossed my path for the first time with a mysterious and quiet young boy. I clearly remember walking into youth group that night with my friend and spotting him straight away. He had shoulder-length hair, he wore a metal band T-shirt, cut-off shorts, not quite what most of the youth in our church were wearing at the time. But I was like, oh, who's that? I remember saying there's something about him, there's something that I'd really like to get to know. I think I'd like to get to know him. We became really good friends, finding we had a lot in common. But the most thing we had in common was that we were desperately both in need of companionship and a gentle listening ear. We started writing letters. Back in the day, we wrote letters. So it was going back quite a while ago. And we sort of became pen pals. This gave us both, we both weren't really great at speaking, but this gave us a way to be really open and honest with each other and just a way to express ourselves without being judged, which was what we both really needed. So I'm talking about Tony, which most of you would know. So Tony was the first person I ever felt completely safe with, free with, and not judged around. Tony was at youth for about a year before moving on. We kept writing on and off, but Tony had, unbeknown to me, been very hurt by a few people at youth and so wanted to cut ties. My relationship with God was going really well, and I had found a group of friends at school that were genuine and true, but I still never quite felt like I belonged. I never could quite shake the complete loneliness and insecurity I felt. Nights at home alone were the worst. Food and exercise became my friend or my obsession. Because my weight didn't fluctuate huge amounts and I had become very good at hiding habits, nobody really even realised the day-to-day battle I was fighting. So therefore, I didn't even realise the day-to-day battle I was fighting. I'd kidded myself that there was no problem, that there was no issue. This is just what females did, and this was okay. So I was still catching up with my youth leader regularly and found out she was still occasionally in contact with Tony. This would have been about 3 years after he left youth. I no longer had heard from him, but I still thought of him heaps and I really, really missed our friendship. She was always very cheekily trying to set us up. And because I was really missing the friendship, we decided that we'd write to him one last time. We'd write a letter together, and she said, we'll write it, we'll send it off, and if we don't hear anything, let him go. It's not meant to be. So I thought, okay. So about after a week, she calls me back excitedly telling me to ring him. It's like, me, ring him? Okay. So I did, and we made a time to catch up. I was about 18 at this time. It went really well, and we spent about the next 3.5 years getting to know each other. By the time we got married, life was going well, and I remembered frequently thinking, now comes the fun stuff. Once we're married, no more loneliness, anxiety, and we'll have a family, and life will be sweet. I finally made it. I never went to uni. Basically, a lot of my panic attacks and anxiety prevented me from being able to go to uni. But I never minded because Tony and I were very keen to have a family, and all I'd ever wanted to be was a wife and a mum. I thought life would get easier. Boy, was I wrong. Tony, as most of you had heard, those of you who did hear his testimony, would know that he has had an extremely abusive childhood, but had, like a lot of abused children, suppressed most of his memories in order to keep functioning. We'd been married for about 6 months when he started having flashbacks during the night, seeing lots of images of his childhood and his abuse. Tony had had mild depression since I'd known him, but the flashback sent him into a deep depression on and off for many years. Alcohol was used to numb the pain. He was never abusive, but he was extremely self-destructive. And to sit back and watch someone self-destruct is a very hard thing to do. Life became a series of highs and lows. When Tony was feeling good, life was good. He would daily tell me that he loved me. He would always make me smile. And he had a way of making me feel extremely safe. His heart for God daily made me want to seek God more and be a better person. When he wasn't good, life became very lonely. Tony would withdraw completely. I found at these times, old habits, obsessive eating and exercise, would rear their ugly heads. About 1.5 years into our marriage, Tony went for counselling, which seemed to help for a time. So we decided to start a family. After 6 months, my doctor was retiring, so wanted to send us for testing, just to make sure everything's okay before he left. The results came back not very good. We were told we'd probably need some fertility treatment in order to conceive. We were both pretty shattered. Not even in our wildest dreams had we ever considered having trouble, let alone not being parents at all. We were referred to see an IVF specialist, and so treatment began. Our doctor was very wise. I remember him telling us to think very, very carefully before commencing treatment. He said that most couples don't get to the other side and still be together. Just to remember why we wanted kids, and to keep that our focus. To keep each other first in our lives and make sure at the end of it we're still together if we end up with kids. So that day we made a decision to each other that under God we'd be number one. I truly believe that's why this whole process has helped our relationship grow so strong, transparent and a safe haven to us both. So over the next 8.5 years we did 18 cycles of IVF, only two resulting in extremely early pregnancies. But we've managed to baffle some of the most experienced doctors and professors in the field, who still have no idea why it hasn't worked. It's been by far the most heartbreaking, heart-wrenching roller coaster ride of our lives. We've drawn close to God, we've pushed God away. We've been angry, we've been sad, we've been hopeful, we've been dejected, we've been faithful, we've been strong, and we've been completely defeated. Yet through it all, God has been extremely faithful, not always in the way that we wanted him to be, but he's always continued to provide for us, love us, and bless us, and strengthen our marriage every step of the way. There's so much more I could say. I watched my dad lose his battle with cancer 10 years ago, just to see my auntie die only 3 months later, to then watch Tony have a complete breakdown only 2 months after that. Sometimes it's only when you look back that you can clearly see the one set of footprints and hear God saying, "It was then that I carried you." I may not have felt God completely there throughout these times, and many times not for a long time. But when I look back, there's no doubt I wouldn't be here today without God and with Tony. So where am I today with everything? I've had counselling and prayer ministry for my anxiety and eating issues and are aware of my triggers and can more honestly see when old habits start to arise. Tony is also a very good indicator of when my thinking starts to warp. I think it's an area I'll always be very, very vulnerable in, but my thinking is a lot healthier these days. Tony and I are in a really good place relationally at the moment. I can't thank God enough for the blessing for blessing me with someone so truly amazing. It's an honour sharing this journey with him. As for being a mum, well, only God knows the answer to that one. It's been 16 years since we started trying. Most people would have laid the dream to bed by now. But I guess for us, the reason we haven't been able to so far is that throughout the 16 years, different occasions we'd go to another church for something, for some reason, and nobody knew us and nobody whatever. And at the end of the service, someone would come up and say, "I just want you to let you know that God's told you that he hasn't forgotten there's a child." We'd go to another church and same thing. A friend of mine organised a massage for me and she said she's a Christian massage person. At the end of the massage, she likes to ask if she can pray for you. I was like, "Yeah, no worries." She goes, I haven't told her anything. And she prayed for us in the same thing. She said, I just want to let you know, God says there's a child there. So, so that's why we're still hanging on. We're now on the waiting list for adoption, but we've also been told that there are no guarantees of ever being placed with a child. So, yeah. My cousin asked me recently, how can you still believe in a God and not be angry at a God who has allowed your dad to die so young and allowed you guys to undergo so much to have children with no outcome? I told her simply, I have been angry at God many, many, many times, but he's big enough to handle it. And I said to her, I wouldn't want to be following God, a God I totally understand. Our human minds are so small and narrow when compared to God's, if you can even begin to compare ours to God's. If my mind could comprehend God's ways and reasons, then my conclusion would be that I've brought God down to my level, squashed him in a box, and limited his awesomeness. The God I was taught about in Sunday school and read about in the Bible is always faithful, always just, and always does fulfill promises, just not always in the way we think that he should. So that's a God I'm clinging to. That's all.
Thank you. I'm sure you all agree it takes a lot of courage to come up and share so personally about your life. And Tanya, thank you so much, and Tony for being so honest with us today. And I guess just in reflecting that, I think in some ways we all try to find identity and purpose and meaning in life through something. And I guess if I could ask you to be honest with yourself right now, where do you find that? Is it in your appearance and how you look? Is it in your profession, your career? Is it the toys that you want to acquire, those sort of things? Because, you know, the Bible says that those things at the end of the day will rust and fade, and moths will come and eat and destroy. But there's one thing that endures and lasts, and that is God's love and his forgiveness. And the Bible promises that he wants to give you purpose and meaning, and he's come to give you direction in life and to give you a sense of satisfaction. And as the older I get, I don't know, I think I was a little bit idealistic when I was younger, because I thought, when I get older, life's going to be so much easier. It's just going to be so much less common. Did anyone else ever think that?
No.
Okay, it was just five of us. Good. We'll hang out later. Thank you for being honest to the rest of you. But like Tanya said, you know, like when she thought, oh, well, once I'm married and once I get into that relationship, everything's going to be just fine. Well, I have to say, it was for me. Life just got better for me. But I wish. I had a lot of changing to do. Whew, yeah. But you know, when God was looking for a king for Israel, he went to a particular guy named Jesse, and he came and he got his sons out, and you know, all the tall, strapping lads and everything like that. And Samuel the prophet looked at them all and said, "No, he's not it. That's not what we're after. That's not the one God wants." And then ultimately, yeah, he says, "You got any more sons?" He says, "Yeah, I've got just a little rat bag that's out in the paddocks looking after the sheep, and he kills bears and lions for fun. So, you know, bring him in." And he's just like, you know, he's a ruddy kind of awkward looking kid at this age, 14 to 16, something like that. And, you know, God spoke to Samuel's heart and says, "I don't look on the outward appearance, I look at the heart." And that's what God does today, you know, despite all this stuff. And, you know, even as a church, we do our best with what we've got in terms of, you know, guys presenting and stuff. We're not caught up in production. For us, what's more important is about the heart of our church, that we're just after God's own heart. But this morning, I just want to say that, you know, God looks past all of that and he sees inside your heart. And the Bible says that he is near and close to the brokenhearted. And I know that the reality is, of every single person that's sitting in this place today, you have a story. And I know it'll be different to Tanya and Tony's. There's no doubt about that. Your story will be different. But the reality is, you have a story. And there's no one in this room that you haven't experienced disappointment or failure, betrayal, trust being broken in some way, shape or form. Maybe in a little way, but for some of us, in big ways. And we're all a little bit broken and fractured. And I'd like to propose to you today, the only one that can heal your broken heart truly is through God's grace, through his forgiveness and through his love that you can experience in your life. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that we celebrate next weekend, is because Jesus gave his life on a cross. And when he did that, he took upon himself all of our wrongs, the Bible calls sin, took that upon himself, and so that you and I wouldn't have to pay the price, which the Bible says is death, not just physical, but spiritual death, which is separation from God. And so Jesus paid the price for that, so that could be paid and we could come back into right relationship with God. And the reality is that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead on the third day, then we'd be going, well, he didn't really achieve much, did he? He's just like any other human being. Well, he wasn't just any normal human being. He was fully God, fully man, and so he was able to pay the price for all mankind, and he defeated death, defeated hell, and he rose on the third day into new life, so we too can have new life. And this morning, I guess, just in closing, I'd love to give you that opportunity of what I'm talking about here, is inviting a God into your world, into your life, experiencing that grace, that forgiveness, and allowing the creator of the universe to be a part of your life so he can bring direction, he can bring just purpose to your life and meaning. And, you know, for me, that's one of the biggest things in my relationship with God, is that I live each day going, wow, I'm actually doing what God's created me to do. And being in a sweet spot like that is, I believe, is something that's possible for everybody in this room. And so could I just ask that we all just bow our heads and close our eyes for just a very personal moment just right now. And just been talking about, and Tanya was weaving throughout her story her relationship with God. That may be a foreign concept to you, but in any relationship there has to be a beginning, and that beginning is an introduction. And so this morning I'd love to have the privilege of introducing you to my best friend, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that there's no other name under heaven by which man can be saved, where we can experience the forgiveness of sins, except through the name of Jesus Christ. I didn't say that, Jesus said that. That he's the way, the truth, and the life. And if you've never had that introduction, if you've never begun a personal relationship with God through what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, then today is a great day for you. Today's a great day. Today's your day. You're not here by accident. And so whether you've been coming for a while and sussing out the whole God thing, or this is your first Sunday, or maybe you've been coming for a few years, but you kind of, something's just resonating in your heart this morning, I'd love to just give you that opportunity to begin your own personal relationship with Jesus. The best decision you could ever make with your life. With that comes forgiveness. With that comes his grace, his mercy, his strength. With that comes the opportunity of finding direction and purpose and meaning in life like you never experienced before. So if that's you today, no one's looking around, it's just me and you, and God's looking over us, of course. Could I just ask that you just raise your hand and just say, yeah, Phil, that's me today. I'd love to do that, just hearing about God's, what God has done through Tanya's life and being there for her and bringing her through that and still with her today, helping her through her ongoing struggles. If that's the kind of relationship you'd love to have with God, then it's on offer to you today. Is there anyone here? Just raise your hand. I'd love to pray with you after this service is done. Just about to close this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, it's not often that we get to sit in quietness like this. Before we break this moment of silence, Holy Spirit, I just want to allow you in this moment of time just to move on people's hearts. So I'm just going to allow us, just for maybe 30 seconds or so to a minute, I'm just going to allow God to make himself real for you. If you're searching for truth, if you're searching for the way, if you're searching for life, Jesus wants to make himself real in this moment of time. So I just want to give him space to do that, for you to experience that in a way that's real for you right now, in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for Tanya and Tony, and Lord God, for their courage to share like that. And Father, we just pray that you'd bless them, that Lord God, when you speak, it can take so much out of you. So I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would refresh, re-energize. Tanya should leave this place to knowing that, God, you truly are smiling over her, and that, Lord God, just those wonderful words, hey, kid, you did great today. Well done. I'm proud of you. Well done. And well done, good and faithful servant. I just believe that's what God is wanting to encourage you and affirm you with this morning for you guys, and that continue in your steadfast love and faith and hope in the Lord, for he does not disappoint and he does not let us down, and that he makes a way where there isn't a way. And I just want to just pray God's richest and fullest blessings over both your lives, as you guys are just so incredibly generous of spirit, with resource, with your lives, that, you know, I know God has and will continue to honour that. And I just pray that you'd be blessed in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you again for being able to be here today. Lord, just thank you that, more importantly, you're here. And Lord, I just thank you that the greatest prayer anyone in this room can pray, if they're searching for truth or seeking you out, is, God, if you're real, show me. And so I just pray people would go away today just encouraged from what they've heard, Lord, that you stick with us, by us. You never leave us, never forsake us. And Lord God, I just thank you that you're committed to us for all time. So Lord, I just pray your blessing over our church today. Lord God, I just pray that you would bless those that can't be here today, unfortunately, just due to illness or travel, whatever it may be. That Heavenly Father, we just commit ourselves to you in this coming week leading up to Easter. May we be mindful and remember and take time this coming week just to read the gospel narratives of Jesus, what you went through for us, that you did that for us. And so I just thank you today, Lord, for who you are, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.